Tzkilato b'pshia v'sofo b'onis, which means the implications of negligence when the unfortunate circumstance which occurs to whatever item one was responsible for watching can't be traced very clearly to that negligence. So if you remember the case we discussed, our test case last time, our vignette, so person drives, rents a car, and he makes an agreement not to bring that car into a particular type of terrain, say a mountain. He drives the car up the mountain, and he does it expertly. No damage is caused to the vehicle. But some other occurrence, not related to his choice to drive on the mountain per se, does indeed damage the vehicle. So the example I gave was a polar bear. It could have been a storm. It could have been anything that caused damage to the vehicle, which was not necessarily traceable to his decision to bring it to that undesirable terrain. And the question is, should we hold one liable in such a case? So do a brief review, because we have a number of different sources to cover today. So we saw in our Mishnah, in our Perek, Sochar HaZomnin, in the Mishnah on Ayin Ches, which we saw that it is not always the case that he will be held liable. For instance, we said in the end of the Mishnah that if he brings, a person rents an animal and brings it into a valley, a bika, he will not be held liable if the animal dies by slipping and falling and getting damaged that way, because generally mountains are more injurious in that way. A bika is a very terrain that one usually can navigate, and that's not expected. Since we cannot trace the death of the animal to his decision to disobey the owner of the animal, he is not obligated in such a situation. However, so we also saw that this should have been subject to a dispute. On Bava Metzia, Mem Beis Med Aleph, their Gemara brings an argument as to whether or not, generally, Tchilato v'Pshia v'Sofo Ba'ones is Chayav. One opinion is that you only are liable for negligence when the negligence is responsible for the death of the animal. If some other unforeseen circumstance is the cause of the animal's death that you were told to watch, you are putter, you are exempt. And the other opinion was that is not so, that in a case of Tchilato v'Pshia v'Sofo Ba'ones, in a case where one is negligent and ultimately the death of the animal is caused in another way, you are still liable. And that indeed is how the Gemara paskins, that is our legal conclusion, that you are liable in such a case. So Tosfot in our Gemara raises the question, why is it that in the Mishnah, when someone, for instance, rents a donkey, agrees to only bring it to a mountain, and instead switches and brings it to a valley, and then in the valley the animal dies, not by any condition traceable to the valley, but because it slipped and fell, why should the owner not be liable in such a case? Shouldn't that be an example of Tchilato v'Pshia v'Sofo Ba'ones? That was the question Tosfos raised. Now, Tosfos gives an answer which relates to a third Gemara, which I brought for you in a succinct way, in the interest of time on source number one, just to review. So here we have source number one. We did this Gemara already, but just to get back into it, Gemara says as follows, Itmar, Pashaba v'yatzata la'agam u'meta kedarka. So a person was negligent, and the animal he was watching went into a meadow, and it died naturally. Okay, so negligence is here. Rashi explains that he doesn't lock up the animal appropriately. It's in the pen, and he doesn't lock it into the pen, and he leaves the door open. The animal wanders into this meadow, and it dies naturally, which is generally considered an ones. Natural death is not something we normally hold a watchman, a shomer chinam, or a shomer sachar liable for. So what should the halacha be? So first we have the opinion of Abaye. Abaye mishmei derava amar chayev. Abaye says you are liable, and he says afilu lamanda amar tchilato v'pshia v'sofo ba'ones pater. Even according to the manda amar, that generally when one begins an act of watching with negligence and the animal dies through an unforeseen circumstance, you are exempt. Hachachayev, in this case, in the case of the meadow, you are liable. My taima de amrinon hava de agma ketala. We say that the heat of the meadow killed the animal. Then we have Rava's opinion. Rava mishmei de Rava amar pater. Rava says, no, according to all opinions, in the case of the meadow, you will be exempt. Afilu manda amar and I put this in parentheses for you. Even if generally you hold in such a case, you would be liable as long as you were negligent. Halcha pater, here you are exempt. My time. Right, that the angel of death could have killed the animal anywhere, regardless of your negligence. So why should you be liable? At first glance, looking at this Gemara, you could have understood that this very question is the argument between Abaye and Rava. Namely, Abaye holds that Pshia makes one liable regardless of whether or not the ultimate death of the animal is machamas apshia, that according to Abaye, once you are negligent, you are liable no matter what the case is. And that is why he holds the owner liable in the case of the agam, of the meadow. Rava argues and says, no, it's not true. Even if you are negligent, you will only be liable in a case in which the death of the animal can be traced to your negligence, since in this case, the angel of death is not limited to any particular location, and the animal would have died regardless of your negligence. That is why, according to Rava, you are exempt. If that was the way you read this Gemara, then our Gemara in Ayin Ches would pose a problem for Abaye. However, we saw last time in alluded to in source number 2 that the Rishonim dispute how to read this Gemara. So Tosfos himself suggests that even Abaye really generally agrees that you are only liable for negligence in the case in which your negligence is traceable to the death of the animal, when the ones is machamat hapeshia. In the Gemara in Lamed Vavadeis, Abaye, when he invokes this idea of Hava da'agma ketala, that by bringing the animal to the meadow, it was the heat of the meadow which killed the animal, he requires that for both opinions. Both, even if you generally hold that Chilato b'shia b'sofa ba'ones chayav, you still need the reason of Havla da'agma ketala in order to be mechayev a watchman, a shomer, because generally we hold that Chilato b'shia b'sofa ones will not be chayav unless you can trace the ones to the pshia. So, according to Tosfot, everybody will agree that you always need the ones to be machamra pshia. In the Gemara Elam Vavam Abayz, Abaye and Rav are simply arguing, it seems, over the reality of the situation. They're arguing over whether we can realistically blame the watchman for the death of the animal. Can we actually say that the reason it died is because of the heat, the conditions in the meadow? Abaye says, yes, we can. Rav says, no, that's too far-fetched. Why are you blaming it on the meadow? It's just died, and it's not the shomer's fault. And that's the way Tosfos reads the sugya. In that vein, our Gemara is understandable. The reason that in our Gemara you are not held liable for the pshia is because in a case in which you cannot trace the death of the animal to the pshia, you are exempt. That is the way Tosa read this Gemara. However, the Rif does not read the Gemara that way, as Tosfos quotes in source number 2. The Rif suggests that no, Abaye generally disagrees with this concept. Abaye holds that the ones does not need to be machamra pshia. In an act of negligence, you will be held liable, according to Abaye, even if the death of the animal is not traceable to your negligence. And therefore, it is indeed a problem, according to the Rif, how Abaye would read our Gemara. So that is where we left off last time. I left you this table, a quick summary if you look at the different cases. Essentially, to sum it up very succinctly, according to the Rif, a Rif holds that within Abaye, you do not need the ones to be Muhammad Abshia. And that's how he reads the Gemara in 36a, Alam Abba Aleph. Abaye only needed that concept of the Havla, the Agma, the heat of the meadow, for the opinion that generally holds Chilatov Abshia Vesofa Ba'ones Potter. He says this based on another Gemara, on 93a, on Sada Gimel Amad Aleph, where the Gemara says that if a shepherd leaves his flock at a normal time, which is a acceptable way of watching the animal, and in his absence, the animal is overtaken by bears or wolves, which the shomer himself would not have been able to protect the animal from, the reason that you are obligated in that case is according to Abaye, according to the Rif, because Abaye, again, generally holds that you are liable for negligence in all cases, even if the ones is not Muhammad Abshia. And Tosfos is the opposite. Tosfos says that it needs to be Muhammad Abshia. That's how he explains our Gemara. And actually, so we'll get back into how he reads the Gemara Nanitre a bit later. Okay, so now I want to get to the theory of this machloket. Why would it be that you are, or one is liable for an ones, a death, which is not traceable to his act of negligence? How should we understand such an approach? If you look at source number 3, I simply brought you the opinion of the Rosh Mishantz, quoting the Shita Mikubetzet, just to show you that this is not just a Rif's understanding. He as well argues that Abaye thinks you do not generally need the ones mimacham rabshia, that the idea of hava da ama ketala was only necessary for the opinion that generally holds chilato b'pshia v'sofa ones potter. But according to Abaye, you will be chayev in chilato b'pshia v'sofa ones in all cases. So the question is, why? At first glance, one could analyze this question in light of how one generally understands the requirement of a shomer. Meaning, we had in all these cases, we have two different points in the process. There is the original guardianship act of securing the animal that the shomer, the guardian, does to the animal. There's the way they watch it. And in our cases, they're negligent in doing so. And then, ultimately, later on, the animal is damaged or killed in some way. The question is, for what do we ultimately hold the shomer liable for? So what one could argue is that in the case of chilato b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones, what we're really saying is that in an act of negligence, you are already liable. Right? For instance, like in the case many of you suggested last time, in the case of a rental car, you rent a car and you violate the terms of the contract, you bring it into a terrain which you were told not to do, okay, that already makes you liable for whatever happens. That the rental car company will make you pay regardless of what happens, if it's your fault or not your fault, if it's an act of God, if it's a crazy occurrence which results in the damage to the car, it doesn't matter. The minute that you violate that contract, you have been negligent. Negligence in and of itself creates a liability for the one who is negligent. Right? And in that vein, certainly it should not make a difference what ultimately happens to the animal. Meaning, even if nothing happens to the animal, you're already liable. And the reason that if nothing happens to the animal, we don't make you pay, right? If you're negligent and then the animal ends up being okay, you leave the gate unlocked and you're watching an animal. And the animal stays in the pen miraculously and nothing happens to it. Why are you not liable? Because you just give the animal back to its owner. You are indeed obligated to pay the owner, and you are not liable because you can by returning the animal to them. However, pshia in and of itself does create liability. And that would be one way of viewing this explanation, this stance, that you will be chayav for pshia even when it is not mahamat ha'ones. All right, everyone still with me? I just want to check because far away. You hear me? Yes? No?
Yes.
Ultimate. All right, yes. Perfect. Okay. And this, if you take a look at source number 4, is what Rabbi Reuven Grozovsky, a prominent Rosh Yeshiva in the 20th century, he was in Israel originally, and then he got to America, and he was a Rosh Yeshiva in Muncie and other places. So Rabbi Reuven says as follows, this is source number 4, Chidushi Rabbi Reuven, Bava Metzia Simon Chaf Aleph. Says Rabbi Reuven, B'nechaz Yanon, B'hal Shomer Chayev Ipshia. Let us investigate why a guardian is generally liable in the case of negligence. Why is a shomer liable for negligence? Says Rabbi Reuven, Im maisa pshia shepasha shomer b'shmiraso zehu gufa mechayvo la shomer tashum mikadon. Maybe we'll say that the very act of negligence that the guardian demonstrated in his watching the item, that in and of itself obligates him to pay for that item. When I'm negligent in watching an item, I have to pay for it, no matter what happens to it. I feel it below my... I have mine's cuff a bit. Below my shows I got b'kadon. Elo shem in has it b'kadon who omer lo ha'resh l'cha lefanecha. Right? That the reason that if nothing happens to the pikadon, to the object, you are not liable, is you can say, I have your object. It's here. Nothing happened to it. But you should have been liable for your negligence. Oh, the chiyav shia hanushu chayav ala hezek shaba na shenasa bipshia. Actually, my copy of the sources here is a bit cut off. So he says, maybe the reason that you are chayav is not because of the negligence. The negligence does not create any sort of liability, but when the in a case where the object ultimately is damaged, and we say that the reason it was damaged was because of your negligence, you're liable for the damage that occurs to the object. And says Rav Reuven, this is how we can explain the shita of the Rif. L'chora mishita d'baya liba d'arif shetchilat d'b'shiyah v'chayev afil sof v'onesh shelo bat machman d'b'shiyah mukach l'chora shemasa d'b'shiyah v'chuda mechayeves. According to Abaye, the way the Rif understands Abaye, the fact that you are liable for chilat d'b'shiyah v'sof v'onesh even when it is not machman d'b'shiyah, it proves at first glance that the act of negligence in and of itself obligates you. And therefore, you are liable in any case in which the pikadon is, you don't have the actual object to return to the owner. So, and then he suggests, we'll go back to the other side. The other side obviously would be that no, that you are not liable for negligence in and of itself. You are liable for damage which occurs to the item, which can be traced to the negligence, but the damage itself is ultimately what makes you liable. So this would be a first way of analyzing this issue. Why or why not would we say that you are liable even when the onus is not Muhammad Abshia? The answer is how do you view this obligation for negligence? Does the negligence itself create a liability? Or no, we don't say that. And we say, no, negligence does not make you liable. Negligence says that when the animal dies, we blame it on you. It's your fault because you were negligent, but you are not liable until anything actually happens to the object being watched. And any questions about this up to this point? Okay. In this light, I brought you the Rambam in source number 5. Because the Rambam has a pretty striking formulation as to the effect of negligence, which at first glance would seem to fit with this perspective. If you look at the Rambam in source number 5, Hilchot Tzchirot Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel. Yireh li shem pasha ha-shomer ba'avadim v'kayotzi b'hen chayav l'shalem. It would seem to me that if the guardian was negligent with servants and the like, he is liable for paying. Now, this is controversial because we generally say, ein shmira bakarkaot, that if someone is hired or agrees to watch land, that they are not liable for things that happen to that land. It's a gzeirat hakatov. It's a decree that doesn't really, you know, it's not necessarily logical, but the general rule is that guardians are not liable for karka. So then why would you, and servants, we know based on the Gemara, servants are generally equated to karka, to land in this vein. And therefore, generally, a guardian is not liable for damage that occurs to a slave. So if someone says, can you please watch this land for me, or please watch my servant for me, and then the servant is kidnapped, or the servant unfortunately passes away, or something like that, the shomer will not be chayiv. So then why are you obligated in a case of negligence? Says the Rambam, She'eno pater ba'avadin v'karko v'shtaro el midin geneva v'aveda v'umisa v'kayotzi behen. Shem ha'yashomer chinam ha'amataltin v'gnignivu ag v'yishava v'avadin v'karko v'shtaro pater mishvua. We only say this in a case of ones, or in a case of theft, where if the person was a shomer chinam, if the guardian agreed to watch the item for free, they would generally take a shvua, a swear, an oath, and then be exempt. And we don't make people take shvua oaths on karka. Generally, the rule is we don't take oaths in regard to real property. However, if you take a look at the bold for a second, the third line here, Aval im pashaba chayav lishalim shekol haposheya mazik hu. Says the Rambam, if you're negligent in watching these items, even though you generally do not hold people liable for their guardianship of real property, if you're negligent and that leads to those items being damaged, you are liable because by being negligent, you have damaged the item. It is a type of mazik, of damage. Just like if you took a hammer and damaged someone's house, or you actively, physically damaged their house, you would be liable. So too, if you are negligent in watching their house, you are also liable. So we see that the Rambam in this halacha views negligence as a form of damage. It is not merely that you did not do a good enough job watching the item, it is that you actively damaged the item, halachically at least, by being negligent in your guardianship over it. And this would seem to fit with this idea that the Maisa Pshia itself makes you liable for what happens to the item. I'm taking a step back. Why would one say this? Why would one view Pshia as a liability in and of itself? So this might, and this is a greater topic, but it might have to do with the nature of guarding an object. When someone agrees to guard an object and they make a commitment, what is the nature of that commitment? So one perspective would be that the shomer has an obligation to watch the chetza, to watch the item given to them, to make sure it is not damaged. That the obligation is, you have to make sure my item does not get damaged. In a case where it gets damaged in some sort of freak accident, in an ones, we don't hold you liable for that. The general rule is ones rachamon apatre, but your obligation is to ensure that my item is safe. And therefore, if that were indeed the case, then it would not follow that negligence in and of itself should...
Can I ask a question here?
Yes. Yes.
You know, karka einan exelis, right?
Yes.
That's the concept, right?
Yes.
So that's why, you know, the shmira can't be for the karka. It has to be for something else.
Good.
So, which is different than anything else.
Correct.
So, no, you can add on... Yes. Okay. You're not. If it's since you're not chayev. If it's stolen, because it can't be stolen, but you could be liable if it's damaged. You're supposed to watch it from damage. You're not supposed to watch it from being stolen.
I think. Well, I think we generally say that you're not. You don't need to watch really karka at all. You don't take shvud al karkot. It's a general rule.
You're watching it so that it shouldn't be damaged. Not like other objects where you're watching it because it could be stolen.
Well, let's say, for instance...
It's got nothing to do with being able to return the karka. You can return the karka, but if it's damaged, you can't return it in the same state.
Well, here's the difference, okay? So let's say you were not negligent in the way you watch it, right? So let's say you were a free guardian. You volunteered to watch someone's property. Okay, and then and let's say then a flood comes and damages the property, right? Or then you are overtaken by some sort of vandals, and you do your best, you can't stop them, and they break the property, right? So that might not be negligence. You might not say you're negligent, but you will not be chayev. Even the Rambam will agree, you will not be liable for any case in regard to real property unless you were negligent in doing so. Meaning, I think the difference is, it's not just that he's saying you have to watch land differently. He's saying generally you don't, there are chiyuvei shmira, meaning there are certain liabilities that a guardian is liable for in that they didn't properly fulfill their guardianship, or they agree to such responsibility when they agree to watch the item. But Pshia is not the same. Pshia is not just you didn't watch it. It is as if you actively damaged it. It's mazik. Right? See the difference? It's not just that you had to watch from getting damaged and you didn't. It's that by being negligent, specifically in the way you watch the property, it is as if you yourself had damaged it. Okay, the topic of real property and Shmira and Gzeil B'Karkot and Hishbon B'Karkot is a bigger topic, but the reason I brought the Rambam is because of this formulation, specifically, that Poshea is Kemazik, that negligence is viewed as a form of damage. That being said, we see that this perspective cannot be the only way to understand this opinion in two ways. Number one is that if you look at the Rambam himself, I didn't bring you all the Rambam, but the Rambam himself generally seems to hold that you will only be held liable if the ones is machamed apshia. The Rambam does not hold you're always liable for negligence, and that even if the ultimate death of the animal cannot be traced to your negligence, you'll still be liable. He thinks you will be exempt in certain cases of negligence. So although the Rambam sees Hoshea as a mechayev, it is a mazik in and of itself, he does not always think that you will be chayev for that pshia. In a situation in which you are chayev for the pshia, we view that as mazik, but you will not always be held liable for being negligent. So within the Rambam, this doesn't necessarily work out in terms of explaining his... What'd you say?
Where's the
line?
No, where's the logic? Sorry, I'm behind you. I don't know if you can hear me.
Logic in what? In the Rambam? I think the Rambam, what the Rambam is saying is...
The logic is saying that on the one hand, Hoshea equals Mazik, and on the other hand, you're not always going to be Chaya.
So I think that the logic is that Hoshea is Mazik when we can tie the Pshia to your... action. I mean, the point of the Rambam to actually happen. Meaning, the point the Rambam is saying is that it's not necessarily that, you know, that the Maisa Pshia is Mechayiv you. What he's really saying there is that in the event that you're negligent and that negligent causes damage to the object, that is not simply viewed as a lack of Shmira, it is viewed as active damaging.
So that undermines... It sounds like it undermines Rav Shmuel Rozovsky.
Right, he ends up backing off a bit, but that's part of my point. What we're saying now is that although you could have suggested that this question as to whether or not you are chayav in a case of ones machamed apshia is dependent upon whether or not you think a shomer should be held liable simply for the maisa apshia or only in a case where damage actually happens to the item being watched, it's not necessarily so that you can tie that question to the question of whether or not you'll be chayef for ones machamed apshia. And I think in both ways, which I'd like to demonstrate. I think you could say that you are only chayef for the actual occurrence to the object and still say you'll be chayef in a case when the ones is not machamed apshia. And you could say the opposite as well. But I'd like to demonstrate that you might say that Pshia itself is a Machayev, but still in certain cases, when the Ones is not Machamna Pshia, you will not be held liable for your negligence. Okay, so that's why I'd like to go from here. But taking a step back as to whether or not, because I didn't fully formulate the idea, so what I'm arguing is, if you think ultimately you're liable for the damage to the item, that's what a shomer needs to do to prevent an item from getting damaged, then it's likely that you will not say that negligence is a cause for liability in and of itself. However, you might argue that what a shomer needs to do is, he has a chiyuv to do a responsible job watching the item. There's a chiyuv gavra on the shomer, right? There's a personal obligation for me to do a appropriate shmirah. If you argued that, then you would say, in the event that you do not do an appropriate shmira, when you do not do an appropriate job of guarding this object, regardless of what happens to it, you've already violated your commitment, and then you will be chayav. Because, the obligation is not just safeguarding this object, it's for the person to do an appropriate job of shmira. The focus is on whether I did a good job or I did not. However, I do think there are weaknesses with this approach, aside from the ones we've already suggested. What other weaknesses is, it is a bit difficult to really suggest that negligence is a liability at that point without anything else happening to it. I mean, nothing really happened to the object. All I did was let it out of my pen. It's a bit difficult to really suggest that not locking the pen should, in and of itself, hold you liable. So I'd like to offer a few other explanations. Going back to our analysis, in analyzing Chilato B'Shiva Sova Onis. So, essentially, we have, on the one hand, generally, one is liable for Pshia, and on the other hand, generally, one is not liable for Onis. So which way does Tchilato B'Shiva Sof Ba'Onis go? One way to say, as we've suggested until now, is that when you are liable for Pshia, you are liable no matter what happens afterward. Another way to suggest is potentially that in such cases, you will be liable for the Onis, despite the fact that it was an Onis. The focus is on the Onis itself that we hold you liable for. That your Petor Onis, the idea that a Shomer is generally not held liable in a case of Onis, does not apply in light of the Pshia. So there are a few ways of saying this, and one of them is in the Ramban in source number 6. And let's try to move a bit quicker here. If you look at source number 6, this is the Ramban on Bava Metzia Ayin Chet Amud Aleph. And the Ramban is taking issue with Tosfot's explanation of Ayin Chet Amud Aleph, that Abaye thinks that you need the Ones Pimachan Rapshia, and he says that's not true, and for the following reason. That at the time that you are negligent, it is then the object is brought into your jurisdiction to be held liable for in any case. Meaning, says the Ramban, what Pshia does is it fundamentally changes the relationship of the Shomer to the object. And it's akin to what we have in the case of a Gazlan. We know that a Gazlan, if someone steals an object, so there's something called Kinyane Gezela, Kinyane Geneva, which means that, although it's not actually mine, I then receive authority over it such that I am liable for whatever happens to it. Because by stealing an object, the Torah gives me a higher responsibility. Just like if I have my own object and something bad happens to it, even if it's not my fault, no one's going to pay me for that. So to a gazlan, generally we say, is chayav ba'onsin. Because by stealing it, you have a certain kinyan, a certain acquisition of that object, in terms of the fact that you are the ultimately responsible for it. And says the Ramban, when you are poshea, it is similar. By being negligent in watching this object, you have the Torah, you have a certain liability toward it that says that you are completely responsible for whatever happens to it. So what the Ramban is saying, it's not that the poshea is what makes you liable, but what it does is it changes your relationship to the object such that no matter what happens to it, however it dies, that is your problem. From the moment that you are Pshaya, you have to make sure the owner gets that object back. Whatever happens to it, you have liability for. Yeah.
This means, if the Shomer is a Shomer Hinam, Patur Monsin, Berega Shosa Pshaya, Bunya Kiru Shomer Sakhar, Vohaya Monsin.
Le hachifetz.
But he wasn't a gazlan.
He wasn't. I don't think the Ramban's saying that. He's not saying that you are a gazlan. He's saying that Pshia has the same effect as gazlan.
Why is it in his rishus?
Because that is the you're asking why that should be the effect that is the
category.
But I think meaning you were given a certain responsibility to watch this object. Via your negligence to this object, in light of your responsibility to the object, you then, because you had to watch it, and now instead of watching it, you were negligent, that creates a greater responsibility toward that object. Just as a gazlan, once you steal someone's object, we're going to hold you liable for what happens to it. So too, once you're negligent as a shomer, we will hold you liable for everything. That is Abaye's understanding. Now, I think just to point out this subtle...
something from somebody else's rishus and moved it into his. That's why. That's not what happens.
The comparison is that a Goslin is somebody who has bought something, he just hasn't paid for it yet.
Right.
That's really what this is about.
Right. Right, exactly.
So too.
Okay, so it's in his receipt.
Yeah. I think that's all. It's just it's delayed payment, that's all.
Essentially. Okay. But I think the difference is, though, is that I think according to the Ramban, and we'll try to iron out some of these differences a bit later, according to the Ramban, the moment that you are chayav is ultimately when the item gets damaged. Right? It is not, at that point, you become liable for everything that happens to it, is in your reshus, but you are only chayav once the object actually gets damaged. Okay, that is the Ramban. If you take a look at source number 7 and number 8, it's around the Maharal. There is a different approach here, and that is as follows. So one way of saying that you will be liable for the ones part of it is, as the Ramban said, the Maharal and the Itter say that although on a simple level what happens to the object is an ones, in light of your pshia, because of your pshia, we look at it halachically as if it was not an ones. We look at it as if everything was due to your pshia, not on a causative level, but on a legally. So, if you look at the Sefer Itter, he says what points to this observation is his explanation of the case on Lama Vav Amar Aleph. Right. So we know Rava said that the reason that you will not be held liable, according to all opinions, in the case of the Agam, is because it was Malach HaMavet Mali Hacha Mali Hatzam. The angel of death could kill the animal anywhere. So many, some Rishonim, like Tosafot said, what Rava was arguing was the Ones needs to be Mahamad Habshia, right? That you'll only be liable if we can trace the death to your object. The Itter says, no, that is not what is happening. Malach HaMavet Mali Hacha Mali Hatzam is a unique case where no matter what you would have done, wherever the object was, you would have been liable. It's an act of God. That is a certain form of extreme ones. However, generally you will be held liable for an ones regardless of whether or not it's Muhammad Abshia. Take a look at source number 7. Umistabra l'doldamia onza malachamavet l'onza acharina. We cannot compare the ones of the malachamavet killing the animal naturally to other cases of ones. There is no way to guard something from the Malach HaMavet. It is not at all relevant to your Chiyuv Shmira. Since you were negligent in the way you watched the animal, whatever happens to the animal is also seen as negligence. That it is an ones, but we look at it as if it had been bipshia. Generally, that is the case, except for the case of the Malach HaMavet. If you take a look at the Maharal, although the Maharal is always a bit, it's very deep and requires a lot of thinking to understand, I think the Maharal explains this a bit more clearly. So the Maharal is angry with Tosfot. Take a look at source number 8. He doesn't like Tosfot's conclusion. He says that certainly Abaye thinks the onus is not me to be Mahmad Abshia, and the Maharal is going to argue that everybody, even Rava, even the other opinion, ultimately holds that you don't need onus Mahmad Abshia. No one thinks that the onus needs to be Mahmad Abshia if Tchilato Abshia Vesob Onus Chayav. And says the Maharal as follows. Source number 8. V'teimali, lo mahotzuchu liko d'tzara she'e os machma abshia. Why did Tosfot say that the ones needs to be caused by the negligence? Afilu lo yeheya ones maham rabshia al shabah ones b'makom hazeh. V'lo hayabu b'makom acher. Gung gavi roe shu roe. Says the Maharal, even if it wasn't, as long as it specifically happened in the place where the animal was and would not have happened elsewhere. Like in the case on 93a inside of Gimel Amud Aleph, where the shepherd watches the animals and then leaves them inappropriately. So if daka makom hazeh shenase sham apshia nase ones. even though ultimately it would have happened, nevertheless, the ones happened specifically in the place where you were poshea. Ve'amrinan kemen sheniyat shematzon b'lo shmira, hayeyipshia ve'ones ha'akan, v'kach ha'evalav d'havi kemo she'echnisa la'agam b'lo shmira, that since, in this case of the shepherd, the ones happened, and you left the sheep without watching them, there's a pshia, and an ones here, and therefore you are chayiv, as if you had actively brought the animal to the agam and not watched it, and Ari came. And afilu im lo yochel hakonis li kishalach li yirim abakat lo komar, fine. And it doesn't matter whether or not you could have gotten back to protect the animals. And he says, the lo komar rava el b'malach ha'mavet z'mali hachom mali otzam. Rava, when he says that you are not liable for negligence, it's specifically in the case where it's the angel of death. Ava b'makom shalo nucha lomar d'bacho makom sheba'om havimita gom b'ninon zeh. As long as we won't say wherever the animal was in the entire world, the ones would have happened, you will be liable for the negligence. And here's the line. Why? Shetan chilato b'pshia havi mishum shemitstarif hapshila el ha'ones ki'ilu havia kol pshia. That the reason for chilato b'pshia v'so b'ones is that we connect the negligence to the ones as if everything was pshia. Afagad the lohavi machmir pshia, batam barer. Right, and then says the Maharal that the way that tchilato pshia so ones works is that there is a halachic tziruf between the ones and the pshia, as it's as if you were negligent on everything, even in regard to this ones. So what does this Maharal actually mean? It's a you can say the words, but what does he really mean? I'm actually curious if anybody has any suggestions. The way I understand Maharal is as follows. Maharal is saying that we have, in every case of pshia and ones, we have the pshia originally and what happens to the animal. Tosfot says to connect the pshia to the ones, you need a causative relationship. Right? It needs to be that the pshia causes the ones. The Maharal says, no. That is not, even without a causative relationship, since the pshia is present, since when you're posheya, that has a certain impact on the animal, you have left it susceptible and vulnerable, that pshia is present at the time the ones happens, and that itself, the presence of the pshia itself and its impact is enough to connect it to the ones. Meaning, as long as the pshia is present at the time the ones happens, that is enough of a connection to be mechayev you for the pshia. So what the Maharal is saying is, yes, ultimately you are held liable for what happens to the animal, but in the context of pshia, everything is viewed as posheya. The ones is also viewed as pshia. But again, it's not that the pshia was mechayev you in and of itself. It's the ones that is mechayev you because we view it in the context of the pshia because of its connection legally to your negligence.
And the ones that only happened because you in a place where you weren't supposed to go, and you veered off the path. It happens to be it's a complete ones, but if you didn't veer off the path, so
no, he's saying it doesn't matter. He's saying that we don't care about that.
Maharal,
we don't care about even it. It doesn't. What he's saying is as long as we. He's making two points. Point number one is that the idea of malach ha'mavet mali hacha mali hatam is not a general rule that we require the ones to be macham and apshia. That's not what it's saying. All that's saying is that in a case where the ones would have happened anywhere, that you will not be responsible for, right? And I think the answer is, if the ones would have happened anywhere, we cannot connect it to your apshia. We can't be mitzarev to your pshia because it's just completely out of the blue. It's an act of God. That we can never hold you liable for. Because whatever you have done, it's not relevant to your guardianship of the object. You cannot, there's no guardianship against the malach ha'mavet. But any other case, which is relevant to your shmira, right, which you could guard against, the idea t'chilato b'pshia b'so b'ones is not just that pshia caused the ones, it's that b'makom pshia, we don't even think of it as ones. Halachically, it's considered pshia, legally. That's the idea. Chlato b'shia b'sof ones pater. We don't view it as ones; we view it as pshia because of the presence of your pshia and its impact on the object that you were watching. Okay. Again, a difficult maral to understand, but again, not emphasizing as much the chiyuv at b'shas pshia, emphasizing the chiyuv b'shas ha'ones because of our perspective on it in light of your pshia. Rav Soloveitchik, the source number 9, has a different way of this idea. Again, that the idea is not that you're chayiv simply for the negligence, but rather the idea is that you're chayiv for what happens to it, but you're still chayiv. So the way I think this is probably the most logical explanation of this. Rav Soloveitchik says as follows: we had to focus on the general fact that you are not liable for onis. Why is that? Says the Rav Soloveitchik, you are generally not chaya for onis because of the fact that you did a shmira ula. The Torah onis is contingent upon the fact that you have fulfilled your obligation to watch the object. Therefore, if I watch an object normally, in such a case, when I've done a shmira me'ula, then I will not be held liable for an ones. The minute that I violate my obligation to watch this object, I no longer have a tor ones, and therefore, I will be liable no matter what. Take a look at source number 9. Nira darif sover di yisoda dima liba da bayahu de shomer shepasha bitel klacharayot shamira shalav. A guardian that is negligent has nullified his responsibility of watching the object. Uvitel et chovat hagavra hamutelet alav lishmor dapikadon. He has nullified his obligation that he had to watch the object. Umishem hachi mechaye b'acharayet meleya al hefzah bikadon. He parka mimenu kol peture hashomrim bat petor ones. The tor ones is not just simply I'm not liable for anything I couldn't control. It's specifically in the context of shmira. As a shomer, I am pater from ones. The minute that I violate my acharayut as a shomer, I lose that pater ones, and I am obligated anyways. So, again, all these, essentially, to sum up this point, until now, we've analyzed a few different perspectives on Chilatov Pshia V'Sofa Ba'ones. One extreme one was to say that Pshia in itself is Mechayev. I think, alternatively, you could say that what ultimately is Mechayev you is the Ones, but it is the context of the Pshia which makes you liable. Either because you became like a gazlan, you as Rabbi Tartino said, you bought it already by being negligent, and it's just a matter of paying for it. Or as the Maharal and the Ittar are saying, that your pshia affects the ones, it infects the nature of the ones as if it was itself pshia. Or the Rav is saying, or Soloveitchik, which we read in source number 9, that the Tor Ones is contingent upon the Shomer fulfilling his responsibility as a Shomer. Once he does not do that, you are liable for Onsen, because you have nullified, you have not kept to your responsibility. So that is,
What about a pure act of God?
For Soloveitchik.
Yeah.
That's a great point. It would seem that would be a difference between the Maharal and the Rishimo Chirim. Again, the Maharal is arguing within both opinions, even Rava, right? Abaye, not within Abaye. So it seems like the way the Rav is saying it, an act of God should make you liable, because you are only ptor from Onis because you are a Shomer. Once you're not a Shomer, then you are chayav in Onsin. Unless you'll say an act of God is just an exception, but it would seem to follow that you should be chayev. According to the Maharal, he's saying, since you cannot connect the act of God at all to your pshia, there's no tsiruf, there's no connection between the pshia and the ones, even on a legal level, because it's beyond the scope of your guardianship, so you will not hold you liable. Okay? So I know these are subtle differences. I do want, eventually, probably at the end of next year, to iron out some differences, I think, between these approaches, but I want to get to the other opinion, at least for the remainder of this year. So we talked. Oh, actually, we'll go through this next part quickly. The question on the question is how will all these opinions explain our Mishnah? Right, our Mishnah says if you bring the animal to a har or a bikkah And an ones happens on the mountain or on the valley, which is not traceable to your pshia, so you will be not held liable. How would we explain that in light of the perspectives we had? So, there are two essential ways of explaining it. One is as follows, that in a case in which your pshia should have led to the opposite conclusion. So again, you bring the animal to the mountain. A mountain is a very open terrain, there's lots of fresh air, the animal should be able to breathe appropriately. However, a mountain is a treacherous terrain and the animal might fall or slip and get damaged in that way. Ultimately, what happens is the animal heats up, it's chuchama, its temperature rises, and it dies because it suffocates because of that heat. So the one argument in the Rishonim is, it's not just that your negligence didn't lead to that outcome. It should have led to the exact opposite of that outcome. It should have led to the exact opposite conclusion. And I think for the Maharal, and it's essentially what he says, one answer is in source number 12, is that that's essentially like the case of the angel of death. Meaning, in a case where the ones is the opposite of your pshia should have, the act which we're considering negligence in this perspective should have prevented this ones from happening, not made it more susceptible to it. It was a good shmira in regard to this ones that will not, we can't be mitzaref that ones to your pshia. It's so far removed that it just, there's no tzira between the pshia and the ones, and therefore you are exempt. If you take a look at source number 12 for a second, he says, this is the Maharal, the Ein Zarayos, line number 4, the Ein Zarayos, minolim to be yashim, or smash of shia, Sharak im nuchalomar, the lo hayabonis chayev, the gabi hochlaka, kevan dim holicha bahar, kol shakin de hochlaka, dare hochlaka bevika, pavizek kedeon rinon, malchamavet malihacha, malihatam, vafila bayu potter. Right, so the first explanation is, since the, what ultimately happened to it, what would have been for sure the same if you had done a good shmira, it's one of these cases where it's out of the bounds of your guardianship, and we won't hold you liable, we cannot connect it to the pshia. Inami, and then the other approach, the Maharal suggests, and I'm sure it's many of you are thinking, is that that this isn't normal pshia. In our Mishnah, what was the negligence? It's that you disobeyed the directions of the owner of the animal. That you, he told you to bring it to a mountain, you brought it to a bicka. So should that be considered negligence? So, different ways of saying this point, but what the Maharal argues is that in as much as that is negligence, it's only negligence in that your decision to bring it to the to disobey the owner endangered the animal. But if it didn't endanger the animal, it's as if you didn't even disobey him. Meaning when he tells you to bring it to the mountain, he's saying that because he thinks it will slip. If you bring it to the mountain and it doesn't slip, and in fact what happens to it is something that the mountain should have helped, that you will not be chayav for. The Ramban and others, if you look at 13, 14, and 15, they argue that that's not considered negligence. Negligence means you objectively put the animal in a more dangerous situation. Here, it wasn't objectively more dangerous. It was more dangerous in one regard. It was less dangerous in the other. That does not constitute a formal act of negligence. If you look at inside, they say it a bit differently. The Ramban says it's not negligence because, you know, it's not objectively more dangerous. Tosfot says in source number 14, it's not considered negligence because the guardian is aware of the conditions it's making the animal susceptible to and can take that into account and do a better job of watching it. Since I know when I bring the animal to the mountain it might slip, I can be careful to make sure it won't slip. And therefore, bringing it to the mountain is not considered negligence. And if you look at the Ritva in source number 15, he says it's not pshia because it's normal. It's normal for animals to go to mountains. It's normal for animals to go to valleys. So again, in terms of defending the question of pshia, in our Mishnah, for the Rif within Abaye, that even when it's not Mahamad pshia, two approaches. One is to say that this falls into the category of Malcha Mavet Malihacha Malihatam. that it's a type of ones that is just out of bounds. And the second approach is that this idea in the Mishnah is not really pshia, or it's not pshia gemura. All you did was disobey the instructions, but that's not full-fledged negligence. Okay, so with the 2 minutes we have remaining, I just want to begin at least the discussion of the second perspective here, which is, what if I think that it does need to be Muhammad Abshia, that the onus has to be traceable to the negligence? What does traceable mean? And this relates to an argument, I believe, between the Tosfot and the Rif. If you look at source number 16, Tosfot has a very extreme formulation. Although he requires onus Muhammad Abshia, he says that if it's at all possible, had you done a good and appropriate job watching the object, this wouldn't have happened, that is enough to be considered Muhammad Abshia. It could be the most remote thing. Maybe you would have performed a miracle and saved the animal from lions and bears if you had been there. Maybe, who knows? Maybe something would have happened. That itself is enough to be mechayev you. The Rif does not say that. The Rif sounds like he's saying that the reason you are chayev, even if you need Muhammad Abshia, it's because had you done a better job watching it, this would not have happened. Not maybe it wouldn't have happened, but this would not have happened if you had done a good job, if you had not been Poshea. So even within the second opinion that you do require Muhammad Abshia, even within that opinion, we have different perspectives as to what constitutes Muhammad Abshia. Does it simply mean maybe nothing would have happened? Maybe had you done a good job, things would have changed? A slight possibility? Or no, that we really are saying a good shmira would have prevented the ones. And that is an argument between Tosfot and the Rif, and I guess next time we'll begin to analyze that. We'll talk about different degrees of negligence. Maybe you can, again, distinguish between how negligent you were, and hopefully we'll be able to accentuate the differences in these approaches with practical differences as to when you are chayev than when you are not. Okay, thank you very much for listening in. I apologize for any consequences of the Skype. And have a wonderful Shabbos, everyone.
You too. Shabbos.